going over the footnotes with this, the staff here, one of the footnotes I came up with for this track was a what book?
Of 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Okay, and starting with verse 1, and some of the staff here was amazed because they didn't realize that the scriptures meant what I explained to them. All right, so go ahead and start reading, and I'll explain it to the church because maybe the whole church doesn't understand it.
So I speak with the tongues of men.
Okay, first of all, what is the part in the tract that I'm using this as a footnote? Read it.
Satan was offended because Christ was giving his life for us so we could be saved.
Right, and so on that particular footnote, Satan was offended at people for bringing the word of God. So it says all those that serve God will be persecuted, all those that follow the Lord. And then also that Satan would come down and persecute the church, the woman with the 12 stars. That what in the Old Testament was symbolic of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. But now it's the new Israel, the new church, the church of God. And Satan's angry at her for bringing forth the word of the Lord to the world. And so therefore, that's a very good footnote here, because it says, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's another footnote for it. And then there are many other, I think that we found probably about 100 footnotes. But here's another one here, and it's talking about knowledge. I talk about how that knowledge, you can have knowledge in all kinds of, see all the supernatural things and hear many different supernatural experiences, people that have experiences with the Lord, and yet they are not, don't have the Spirit of the Lord in them. Now the Bible says if we don't have charity, and the Bible plainly says that none of us have charity until the Spirit of the Lord enters into us. And so therefore, when it's talking about charity, that means the Lord Spirit in a person. Okay, so now we'll start reading that scripture. And read before it's said again.
1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Okay, go ahead.
Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels.
So in other words, he has, it's talking about having some knowledge of the Lord. But he does, the works of the Lord are not found in him if there's no charity. If God is not working in him, okay? In other words, it says, be not just hearers of the word, but be doers of the word in the book of James. So read this again.
Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity,
and have not the Spirit of the Lord in me that's working and doing charitable things to people, because our works are like filthy rags unto the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
It's like a filthy menstruous cloth. It doesn't mean anything. It's only the work of the Lord that's in us, the charity of God that's in us, that doeth any good. So if read that again about the charity.
And have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal.
You're just the person that talks, like the Pharisees. The Lord says, listen to what they say, because they're the teachers of the law, and they have knowledge, but they don't have my life in them. They don't have life. So to just know the scriptures is not enough. Or to just to know the menu in a restaurant isn't enough. You have to, in order to give you power and strength, you have to eat the food, or some of the food that's on that menu, in order to give you strength to sustain your life. And so read that again.
Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal.
It's just the person that talks but doesn't do. Because you don't let the Lord, you don't believe the word enough to let the Lord do in you what he wants to do. You don't deny yourself. You don't let him live. Because if when you deny yourself, then you're saying, okay, Lord, I want you to take over. I want charity to come into me to do the work, your work. Because if it's not you working, then it's not the work of the Lord. I haven't denied myself yet. I haven't laid down my life that your life could be manifested in me in the world. Okay, then what?
And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge.
Okay, so knowledge right there again. Read that statement that I say about knowledge. There's about two or three statements back that you asked me to find footnotes for.
The greater our knowledge and more profound our experience, the more hidden away from us shall our self-life be, and the harder it will be for us to detect it and reject it, because it is offensive for those that have the knowledge but not the spirit, as the Pharisees and hypocrites, to deny themselves.
To do the work of the Lord, okay? So that the Lord can do this work in them, okay? Can work in them. Okay, so that's what this footnote is for also. Okay, then read that last statement again.
And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge.
So you know stuff. You know all about the Lord. But remember, there's scriptures in 1 Romans that says that because you knew the truth and then you decided to live a reprobate life, you knew what it felt like to be saved. You were saved. But then you started doing your own will. You wouldn't allow the Lord to have His will in you to do His charitable works in you, because you don't have any works. Any of your works are like filthy rags, again I say it, or any works that we do. It has to be the Lord working. Okay, read that again.
And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity,
and have not the Spirit of God living in me and letting Him do His work, I haven't surrendered my life completely unto the Lord so that He can work. Then what?
I am nothing.
I'm nothing. Because Jesus said, you can do nothing without me. Okay, and so Paul confirms that by saying, I'm nothing without the Lord, Spirit of charity working in me. Right?
Right.
Okay, then what?
And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor.
Not like the Catholics do, and Mormons. Then what?
And though I give my body...
And some Baptists and so on. And though they give their bodies... Then what?
To be burned and have not charity.
As Joan of Arc did. And she wanted to kill everybody. That was against the people that she liked. And have no charity. And have not the Spirit of the Lord living in me, doing His works. Then what?
It profiteth me nothing.
It's not going to do any good, because only what the Lord does is good. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Charity suffereth long.
The Lord's Spirit in a person suffers long because God is powerful. He doesn't have to get exasperated or uptight or anything at doing good works. But I see people getting uptight. I see the Lord getting uptight at people that don't do good works. But the Lord never gets tired of doing good works. Charity, the Spirit of God, is ready and powerful and will suffer all things. Will allow everything that is of the Lord to be done. But this charity will reprove and rebuke evil dudes. And they'll never get weary of well-doing, of doing what the Lord says. And the Spirit never gets tired of working on the building. Building the body of the Christ, the Church of Christ, building up the Church, building up the New Jerusalem, building up the Bride of Christ. So suffers everything that the Lord says to do. The Spirit of the Lord allows everything that God says to be done. But the people that are of the devil get upset at having to deny themselves and their own lives, to lay their lives down, to become a heap of ashes as a burnt sacrifice becomes, so that they can allow the Lord to start working in them, who never tires of well-doing, who never tires of charity, doing the work of God, the Spirit's work. Okay, then what?
Charity suffereth long and is kind.
The Spirit of God constantly works and is never tired of, what does it say, never what?
And is kind.
And is very kind, because it's that the Spirit, if it's in you, is long-suffering. You're not going to smite somebody down when they're a baby Christian, a new convert or anything, if they make mistakes, but you're going to train people and be kind to them so that they can know how to do, so that they know how to release them, themselves, to death, so that the Lord can bring forth life in them. And so they can train the others, let the Spirit of God train the new converts so that they can let the Lord, so that they can know how the Lord wants to live in them as well. But when they see you devouring one another in a church, then they are not being taught anything other than Satanism, cultism. And so all people that allow those, that type of spirit to live in them will suffer great tribulation eternally in hell. But the Spirit of the Lord is kind and wants everybody to learn the Word and the operation of the Spirit as the Lord wants them to, and they never get tired of that. But they never also get tired of reproving and rebuking people who have no charity. And they never take the time on a consistent basis to feed the flock of the Lord the correct spirit of charity, which is the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, then what?
Charity envies not.
God doesn't have to envy the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of God doesn't have to envy anybody because He's God. He's got it all. There's nothing for Him to envy in anybody because He doesn't envy stupidity. He doesn't envy a lack of zeal. He doesn't envy any satanic spirit. He hates satanic things. He doesn't envy people that are lusting and are filled with lust and have no faith. So He envies not anyone. And if the Spirit of God is in you and you, you've laid down your life to death so that the Lord can live in you, then you, the Spirit will not envy anybody in you or anything. Okay, then what?
Charity vaunteth not itself.
God doesn't have to vaunt Himself. He's God. He created everything. I mean, His the things that He's done stand for Himself. He doesn't have to brag. But He does brag that He's going to destroy the world and the people that will not serve Him. He can do that because He's God. But He doesn't brag about all the things that He is at all. Outside of, except with the exception of explaining Himself to people. But that's not bragging, that's just stating facts, okay? And saying that He's going to destroy all the wicked, that's just a fact. So really, that's not bragging. Okay, then what?
Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up.
God doesn't have to be, He's not puffed up. Charity, the Spirit of God is not puffed up. He's just trying to win people's souls. He's just dealing with people to die. He also gives people the power to die if they accept the Spirit, and to die from their thoughts and their wicked ways. I say in this tract also that God sees all the evil things that people have done to us and are doing, and He hears all the evil things they're saying about us. Because He knows everything. The Bible says that He even knows so much that He's going to judge every one of your thoughts. You just think you're smart. You just think that you know things. But the Bible says, well, how does He know? Well, He that gave the eyes, can He not, made the eyes, can He not see? He that formed the ear, can He not hear? And He that fashioned everything that's in the world, does He not know? If people had ever seen the birth of a child, you would know how utterly stupid they are when they come into the world. They don't know anything. And they have to be taught because they don't know anything. And people just assume because they're in a church that they're going to know things. But how are they going to know anything if the people in the church are not led by the Spirit to teach them the love of the Lord, the charity, if the Spirit's not there ministering to them? because there's very little spirit in people nowadays. Otherwise, you'd see more of the true word of the Lord emanating from them. You'd see more charitable works rather than just feeding and clothing and housing people. The Catholics do that. The Baptists do that. The Mormons do that. That doesn't mean anything unless you have charity. Well, how is that your... That's your good works. They're like filthy rags. Amen?
Amen.
You can do those things, but only in the name of the Lord. And still, it doesn't mean anything. It's not going to get you into heaven if the Spirit of the Lord is not in there. Because if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is not in you, then also, if He is in you, then He'll raise you from the dead also. But if He's not in you, you're going to be in hell. Okay? Because it doesn't make any difference all the good works you do. You can type at a typewriter all day long and all night long. You can give your body to be burned. But if the Spirit of the Lord is in you, that isn't going to do you any good. If the Spirit of charity, the Lord, is not in you, then you're not going anywhere. Because Jesus said, you can do nothing without me. You can't go anywhere without Him. You can do your own good works. That's why the Lord said to the people that are standing before Him on judgment day, Lord, had we not done good works in Your name? Have we not done all these different things? He says, depart from me, you wicked. I never knew you. I wasn't living in you. Those were works you said you were doing. But I wasn't doing them. You were just giving food to who you wanted to give food to. But if you would have prayed for people, if you would have let me tell you what to pray, then you would have been praying the right things and I would have answered. I feed every sparrow on the face of this earth, the Lord says. I feed the sparrows and I clothe the lilies. And so is it a person not more worthy of being fed and clothed than sparrows and lilies? Yes, if you'd have prayed to me to feed and clothe and house all the people in the world, I'd have done it. And yes, when I present opportunity for you, like when I show you feed that person, clothe that person, give something to them, do it, because inasmuch as you've done it to the least of mine, you've done it unto me. But if you hadn't done that when I tell you to do it, but that's my works, because when I tell you to do something, but when you're doing it on your own, you may be feeding people, clothing and housing those that I'm cursing, and giving the power and strength and everything to my enemies, the ones that blaspheme me. And so you think you're doing a good job. I never knew you. Get away from me. You supported the devil. I never knew you. Now depart from me, you wicked. You'd never been led or was counseled by the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of the Holy Spirit of charity was not in you. You just did your own thing. Okay, that's what these scriptures are saying. All right? Then what?
Does not behave itself unseemly.
Doesn't feed, clothe, and house people that I'm trying to chasten. But they just vaunt themselves. Whenever I curse somebody, then they run over there with these big charitable works so you can say it on television and radio of all the wonderful things that you're doing for these people over here. And yet, God knoweth all things. He was trying to chasten them, but you were busy strengthening the arm of the wicked. And so therefore you're wicked, because I wanted you to strengthen the true church of God, not the wicked. I wanted you to go to the poor and needy that didn't despise my word, and to despise my real word, and the spirit of charity, which is me. There's a charitable bone in your body. All you're doing for is to exalt yourself and get more money sent into your wicked ministry. Oh, that's so shocking to a bunch of people that don't know the Lord. To hear the word of the Lord straight and narrow. We have to be led by the Spirit in order to know who's wicked and who's not. Because if you don't have charity, you don't have nothing. Right?
Right.
If you don't have the Lord living and working in you, you're not doing anything for God. Because you're just blind. And you're falling in one ditch after the other. Okay, then what?
Seek it not her own.
Why? You're not going to seek your own publicity and glory, but you're doing what the Lord says, even though it seemingly looks like these things are not being observed. You have the faith to believe that the Lord, if he can judge every thought that you have, is watching every move that you're making. And those that serve him secretly like that by the Spirit, he will exalt openly before the whole world. It's like the same thing over here when the people of Thoth, who took our water away from us and closed our, we had little, some of the brothers and sisters had a little grocery store over there and closed the store down. The health department said, no water, no permit to sell stuff. So I closed it down for a couple of years, and we just prayed for those people because we saw the wickedness of them. And they were saying all kinds of evil things about us over here, and the Lord was hearing. And they were doing all kinds of wicked things to us, and the Lord was watching. And then all of a sudden, all the water got turned off of the whole town because they didn't have a generator on their water tower. And so I found out about it because the Lord told me, and he says, get to the generator. And I said, yes, Lord, without ever even any arguing with the Lord. Well, Lord, they took our water. I didn't argue with them at all. And they closed our store down, and why should we get them in? I didn't do that. I just said, I just picked up the phone real fast and told one of the brothers to get on the phone and start looking for a large generator big enough to cause the water from their wells to be pumped up into the water tower so that everybody in the town would be able to have water. And I did it, and now everybody in town loves us. And I didn't think but the Word of God says that that will happen. We did that secretly without going on television with it or anything. And the only reason that I'm telling about it now is to show that when you do things God's ways, he makes peace even with your enemies. Because they had no water, and we gave them to drink. For the Lord says, give your enemies to drink. Now, they took the water away from us, and we gave them to drink. And I never called the press in, nor did I solicit any type of exaltation for it. But it just so happened that the press was there that day. And I swear before God that I did not solicit that at all. And the mayor of the city told him what we had done here. And it hit the newspapers on the front page, and the people in Texarkana and all the areas around there that read that paper love us now and think that we're really of the Lord, because they knew the whole story of how they'd closed or taken our water away from us and closed the grocery store and everything. And everybody knew it, and they thought it was terrible and all that, but they didn't do anything. And we didn't do anything either, because I just waited on the Lord. And it took about a couple of years, wasn't it? A year and a half, 2 years, a year, what was it?
Yeah, it was 2 years.
It was 2 years at least, and they say, and I believe it to be so. And then all of a sudden the Lord made that move. There was a big frost. It was like horrible. And there were lights were out, and then the water went. They didn't have water. So these pathetic people that had little children, babies, and they have sick people in their houses. And some of them were not against us at all. But even if they were or weren't, didn't make any difference. The Lord says, get them the generator so they can have water. And so we got it. And then it hit the newspaper one time after the other. And it went far and wide. And every place we go, people smile at us. And they invite us to their ceremonies. And all types of different things like that. And I haven't attended any of their ceremonies, but I've always had some, because I've been too busy, but I've had some of the brothers and sisters go to them. And we show, and then we also, they saw that we were benevolent, and they know we're of the Lord now, because we did something that is humanly impossible for people to do, to love your enemies. No, what we want to do, the natural person wants to do, is bomb the enemies. Go over there and kill another 1.5 million babies over there in Afghanistan. Because the last time we went over to Ethiopia or one of those countries over there, they killed over 1.5 million people. We did, because of one person's offense over there. Now that isn't the Lord. That's the devil. That's no charity there at all. And now, because one man, they say one man caused the bombing on the Twin Towers, they're going to go over there, and instead of sending SWAT teams in after that one person and doing an investigation over there to find out if there was anyone responsible there, or in fact if there was anyone, if it wasn't pre-planned in the United Nations, in our own country. But I'm not called to run the government or really squeal on the government of what I know they're doing. People that are in this government here wanted them to attack the Twin Towers so that it would be more of a justification for the United Nations, because they want the United Nations. The devil wants the United Nations so that they can have a one world church and government where the devil can sit down very soon in Israel, in Jerusalem, in the one spot and say that he's God. He has to have a church so he can say he's God. He has to have a government to enforce everyone to take the mark of the beast. He has to have a government to enforce everyone to take Bibles out of school. He has to have a government to enforce the death of millions of babies. He has to have it. He's wicked. That's wicked. Now, God knew us before we were in our mother's womb, every one of us. Even knew the two witnesses. He knows the end at the very time of the beginning. And so he certainly knows that the life that's growing in a fetus, in a woman's belly, is life. If it's not life, then what do they want to kill it for? How could they kill something that's not alive? Amen? So it must be alive. How can you kill something that's dead? It's alive. They're killing, and they're trying to make it, and they believe that people are so afraid to say anything against them because they themselves are of the devil. The Bible says that the fearful and unbelieving will spend eternity in hell. And what is the Roman church doing but in setting these things up? I personally believe that it was the Vatican, the one world government, the world government that planned this attack on the World Trade Center so that America would get ticked off enough to send 30,000 more men to be slaughtered or to be gassed over there. They want all of the United States manpower to be destroyed. And I'm not for guns, but I've been told they want to take the guns away from everybody here so that there are no defenses against the one world government when they come to just destroy. They knew that it was going to happen, is my personal belief, just like they knew that Pearl Harbor was going to be bombed. They knew that President Kennedy was going to be killed and that it wasn't Lee Harvey Oliver. They always have to find some scapegoat like that bearded raghead out in Ethiopia over there, or that his son. They got to make him the fall guy. They were friends with Noriega. The United States government loved him. Until they felt it more profitable to go over there and bomb all the people and have a bunch of armed people killed just to go and get him, one man. Same thing with Iran. Over 1.5 million people were killed there too. And they still didn't capture the one they said they wanted to. So, the Vatican is famous in shifting the blame, smokescreening what they've done, and shifting the blame to other people. They send thousands, millions of people to their death and to prison for things they never did. Okay, so that isn't charity. That isn't Christianity. It makes me extremely sick when I hear them say that they're Christians. This is why the Jews find it hard to get saved, because they know it was them that were shoving them into gas chambers in Poland, Czechoslovakia, and Germany. The Pope himself, the Pope that is nowadays, is the one that mixed the gas and sold the gas, the cyanide gas that killed the Jews. And he fled for his life after the war to Argentina, and they made him a Pope because of the amount of Jews that he helped kill.